what you know about it.
It's the stew, baby.
Got the mise en place.
Young stew, baby.
And the room a lot.
Hello. Hello, you're listening to The Stew. I'm Jason Stewart, and I do this food podcast with Andre Canaparo. Say hello.
Hi, how you doing? Great intro.
Yeah, you like that one?
That one was great. Two thumbs up.
Why do you like that one more than normal?
It was a nice one.
I feel like you normally hate it, so I'll take just a regular middle across the board. I'll take that base hit any day of the week.
Daddy.
One guest
you
today.
You did good.
Jordan, what's up, baby?
How you doing? How you doing?
Jordan,
how do you pronounce your last name?
Oaken.
Oaken?
Oaken.
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 Strong like Oaken.
Yes, sir.
Not Oak. Not Okun.
No.
No, you
I heard
idiot.
That a lot from teachers back in the day, first day of school. But
right.
Oaken.
You know, just O-K-U-N. Oaken.
That's true.
A normal name that we all have never seen ever.
No need to be fancy.
I feel like there's a few Oakens out there.
Any notable Oakens? Notable Oakens.
Oaken Simpson?
Just fire off 10. Give me 10 famous Oakens.
The scientist in Independence Day, the crazy scientist, he was Dr. Oaken.
Let's go with actual people in the world and not fictional characters. That was your big one, wasn't it?
Damn. I thought this was a food podcast, man.
That was kind of your ace up the sleeve.
That was pretty good.
I'm just tripping off seeing Andre. I'm sorry.
What up?
You never, because, you texted me like, hey, or you emailed, like, I sent the scheduling thing for the pod, and you're like, I can't believe I get to see Andre.
It's crazy.
Andre in real life. And I feel like
such
a lot
an incredible letdown.
I feel like a lot of guests can share in that feel.
Yeah.
They want to know what it feels like to walk amongst Andre, to be in his, to be just breathing the same air, just to be in the same.
I mean, I'm good. It's been enough.
Yeah. Yo, Jordan brought Sonora Town. That shit is crazy.
Yeah. All future guests who are listening right now, the bar has been raised. We've been getting a lot of nice little fun chips and treats lately. Jordan brought over some Sonora Town.
Oh, that reminds me. I got a treat for all of us for the pod.
Oh.
Okay.
Watch out. Don't unplug that cable. Well, you got it. He's a pro. He got... What could it be, Jordan?
He's in the kitchen.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it's a food that sounds really cool to eat. Oh, great. Doritos Crunch Nuts.
That's a hard pass.
What the fuck is a Crunch Nut?
That's what I'm saying. Cool Ranch, baby.
All right, Doritos Cool Ranch Crunch Nut. It's in like a...
this is the Y2K snack. It just hit the streets.
It's in a futuristic asymmetrical cardboard box.
Yeah, because it came from the future.
You've got all the 2018 snacks.
It came from the 100%. Future. 100%. It really does look futuristic. Like, this looks like a prototype that should not be available for purchase.
Oh, it's astronaut food for reals.
So it's a peanut that's covered in a Cool Ranch Dorito shell.
Yeah.
And by the looks of this packaging, you've already dug into it.
I had a couple on the way home.
What do you give it on the Rotten Tomato meter?
It's very good. It's surprising.
God damn it.
Give it an 87.
These people never answer me in a number. What did you say?
I'll give an 87.
87 certified fresh.
I love peanuts. I love Cool Ranch Doritos.
Mm-hmm.
I never get Cool Ranch Doritos because they're garbage food, but I love them.
Mm.
But I feel like with a peanut, there's a little bit of healthy fat hiding in there.
Jordan doesn't want one because he knows if he has one, he's going to have to eat the whole.
Little energy, maybe.
Well, funny enough,
inside of there.
I bought, my wife actually bought some... dried peas from Whole Foods the other day with the ranch flavoring.
I've never even seen
that. Kind of had the corn nut feel to it, but in a healthy way, which was nice.
Also, did you see this, the way you store this for later?
No.
You fold it over diagonally, and then this has a window. You slide that into the pouch sheath.
Future's crazy.
We're closed up. Look at that shit.
So I give it an 87 because the shell tastes exactly... like a Cool Ranch chip.
It does.
Texture and flavor. And when you see these bootleg snacks where it's like, this is like Cool Ranch something or Dorito Nacho
How
Cheese
they?
Something. They fail. Mm. They're not as good as the chip. And I feel like this is good as the chip, but it's got a peanut around.
It's coming straight from the source.
So, 87.
Damn.
I've fucked a hard pass on the crunch.
I would totally eat that at a baseball game.
Right?
But I have fucked with the Dorito Los Tacos.
Those are pretty good.
The ranch.
You nasty man.
I have.
That
I like it. I like Taco Bell. Only fast food I'll eat.
I feel like that's the
Taco Bell is disgusting.
You're a Del Taco man. You're a Del Taco man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's the term?
Del Taco either.
What's the term for that kind of marketing for Doritos Loco? There's a term for it. A food marketing term. And it's like a gonzo idea. Even right. This American Life did a piece. They had like a 15-minute piece on it, but
like there's a word for when that, you make dumb.
Doritos Loco is the most successful fast food product of like the last 15 or 20 years.
Really?
By sales and like heat generated and brand awareness generated to Taco Bell. That is like the most successful fast food item since the McNugget.
We're all looking for our next Loco.
Yeah.
Loco movement.
It's nuts.
I was just reading about, speaking of This American Life type shit, that when Coca-Cola started writing random names on the can, you know, like a couple years ago, they started doing that for the first time in 10 years, their sales increased by 2%, because in the last 10 years, like, Coca-Cola consumption had slowly been going down.
0.02 point, like small increments.
Yeah, going down slowly for sure. I mean, obviously a shitload of Coke gets sold every day, right. But you know, not compared to the 80s and 90s when
it was considered water.
Right, and now that water is fucking everyone's
got the bad rap.
Everyone's drinking water nowadays.
Now it's LaCroix. It's all about LaCroix.
Now it's all about LaCroix.
As you sip that tangerine,
I've got the fridge. I got the fridge pack. I just have a whole mini fridge full of it.
People are addicted.
Same.
So wait till people start writing even more esoteric names on the LaCroix cans, then the sales are really going to go up.
Once it falls off, it's got to fall off.
You start writing like Hunter and Brooklyn and shit like that, like some LaCroix ass names.
I really thought it would fall off when like people figured out it wasn't French.
People don't care
from,
where
like,
it's
Cleveland.
From. They just... Cleveland, huh?
Shout out Cleveland, the land. But
Cleveland is the LaCroix of cities in America, I'll say that.
Does that mean like Arizona tea grape drink is going to get a real urban name? Like the... Like the Key and Peele... The Key and Peele...
College football names?
I would like to see that.
That's where Arizona really starts shining.
Yeah, hard in the paint.
So Jordan, people, you're in and around the LA food world,
yeah.
But you're a little bit of a mysterious character yourself, per se.
Mm. You think so?
I mean, I guess you're a freelancing man.
Mm-hmm.
You don't work in a restaurant. You don't work for a specific place, but you kind of float around.
Hired gun.
Yeah, food writing wise, I'm a freelancer.
Right. But tell us a little bit more.
Right. So,
why are you on this podcast?
I am here.
Is what we want.
Thank you for coming on this podcast.
Jason and I vibe on social media.
Yeah, we're social media friends.
I would vibe with Andre, but he refuses to get on social media.
Andre, vibe with my man.
Andre, how come you don't want to vibe?
Vibing right now.
You only vibe in person.
I mean, if the wife leaves you, let me know what's up. Because there's a love, there's a rainbow connection in this room.
Andre's
after
good.
Sonora Town.
First and foremost.
He is handsome.
Thanks, buddy.
You kill it.
I told you that Andre is hot, right?
Yeah.
In an email?
You did say, you said pretty hot.
It was in the invitation.
I said, Andre's pretty hot. Get ready.
I feel like you didn't need the pretty. Like, he's just hot.
We don't need, he's straight up hot.
Yeah. Good looking, man.
Andre just went
from
beet red to blood red.
Oh my! No, I want you to keep talking.
He's blushing.
He needs some more Doritos. So I was working in the entertainment industry and at a talent agency and hated it.
Like the biz?
The biz. I was working at ICM, and I was probably the world's worst Hollywood assistant, to the point where an agent I was working for took me into his office and asked me what agency sent me there to ruin his business. I was that bad, right?
That's so fucking good.
That's a good line.
Right, so...
We could use that one in Entourage Season 4.
I was like, no, I just don't want to fucking be here.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, good, get off my fucking desk, do what you want to do. And that was writing. And so I started writing journals. I'd always kind of fictionalized journals.
Okay.
And I started writing fictional.
Take an easy way out. I like it.
Exactly. I started writing fictional journals about a kid at a talent agency who was the exact opposite of me, who was dope, who lived for it, whose like heart and blood just pumped Hollywood, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just to kind of get through it emotionally, it was kind of cathartic just to write about a kid being happy in a talent agency when I was just wanting out.
Mm-hmm.
And those passages, I was writing a lot of them, and they turned into a book deal.
Oh, wow.
I was able to leave my job. At the time, I was working in film development. And
is ICM over in...
They were in Beverly Hills at the time. They're in Century City now.
Right.
And I was able to quit my job and finish up a novel. So did that. And a lot of the passages, because I was writing about a young talent agent or a young talent agent assistant's life, were in and around restaurants because that is just so much of their daily grind. And I really...
We've all been to that Century City food court, haven't we?
You take a bike there? Did you really bike right there?
Pre-Italy, by the way, you poor thing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I ride my bike over there.
It's a long ride.
It is a long ride.
It's a lot of exercise.
Yeah, man.
You enjoy exercise.
I was impressed.
I enjoy exercise. Right. I need it in my life for the amount of Doritos I'm eating.
It's true.
You know?
I need it more in my life. So,
that's a whole other podcast, though, isn't it?
That's Sonora Town. That is the gut. So, yeah. I really enjoyed writing those scenes.
How long ago was this?
This was 2012.
Okay.
And then I started writing what I'm doing now, which is just trying to sell TV pilots and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And started getting into food more and more and just really appreciating it. And this was like right around the time when LA was just really taking off.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of exciting stuff was going on. And I enjoyed writing those restaurant passages in the novel so much that I really wanted to try to do that, but in food journalism.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was, is, you know, most food outlets right now, they're not looking for long form, first person shit. They're looking for lists and news breaking and all that. And that's great. And I read the shit out of that and I click the shit out of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to write the shit out of that. So,
right. And also that doesn't really... Maybe those don't pay quite as well also as like some long-form hits.
But at the same time, it's like there's only the smallest handful of full-time paying gigs for food writing in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
So you're most likely not going to get one of those.
Yeah.
I was lucky to be, you know, making a living doing something else. So just as a writer in my spare time, wanting to get into the food scene, connect with chefs, connect with other food people, that was kind of my way.
You didn't
want to
go full Farley Elliott, is where
you're
saying. Yeah,
I mean,
shout out
Farley,
great
one
name,
of my favorites.
What's up, Farley? How you doing, baby? Love you.
He's a good man. Mm-hmm. The ambassador of the Bang Bang.
Louis C.K.'s Bang Bang?
Yeah. Although Farley does the Bang 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 sometimes.
Did you? I still haven't watched. Andre and I went to go see that Phil Rosenthal.
Yeah.
Show. We went to the screening before it aired.
The Golden Deli egg roll after party that I missed out on, right?
Yes. It was fire.
It was the best, including weddings, including any event that was not at a restaurant. That was the best pastry food.
So what
or
else?
As good as any pastry food I've ever had.
The Golden Deli, what else they have?
It was Golden Deli, and then they did an ice cream, and then there was one other...
It was weird.
Vietnamese
on paper,
place.
The things were just so good, but on paper, pork belly slider.
Phil's going to come correct.
Like, whatever, pork belly slider. It was an incredibly good pork belly slider. Like,
right.
You know,
it
you
wasn't
say,
some bullshit.
Then you say, like, Golden Deli egg roll, but if you didn't say that, you'd be like, Golden Deli. And they're like, eh. But it was so good. It was like, it was, and there was a crispy chicken dish that was, that was all right. Mm. Fresh rolls were really good, and there was something else that I really liked, too.
Very high standards on Andre.
Mm-hmm.
Very
there
high.
Was, there was some good nil. And Andre's BFF, Norman Lear, was in the building.
Oh, shit.
Him and Andre go back.
Norman Lear was sitting next to me at Bert Bachman, Trudy's Underground, pop-up at Animal. He was like
one
of the only celebs there just chowing at like 9 p.m.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, he's a foodie.
The god.
He's a big foodie.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, when we were watching that, there was a line in the Phil show where he's like, we're going to do a thing.
the Phil impersonation.
That's
right. That's a good Phil. That's
it's
a good
really
Phil.
Not that bad. That's a good Phil. Like,
not that offensive. Phil.
Well, what my friend Louis C.K. might call a bang bang, and then everyone in the theater was like, "Oh boy!" Like, you know, like
right.
And Andre and I were kind of like, "There's this must be like an early test shot, and there's no way that they're going to leave that in the final cut."
Well, it was voiceover, so it was like...
Because it's voiceover.
I was just like, oh, obviously, like, whatever. They didn't get it put to shape yet, and they needed to show it, whatever happened. And then somebody else to me was like, no way they showed that to press with that line, and they're gonna change it. And I was like, okay, I mean, that's fair, but, I mean, I've definitely had to get things out behind schedule, organize something, organize a screening, and then...
I feel like he's going to run with it.
I mean, it's crazy to think that they're going to run with a voiceover throwaway line like that that just...
But he is, I mean, he is kind of the OG of the Bang Bang. I mean, he brought it to the masses. I mean, that scene is...
That doesn't, I mean, there's a lot of, you know...
Controversy
aside.
There's
a lot of bad people
who
are the OGs of things that are not good.
Yeah, I know, but...
But we don't want to shine a light on them. But anyway...
Bill Cosby's touring again.
Yeah, Bill Cosby.
It's true.
Let's get away from Shining a Light. Let's get on some Bill Cosby touring stuff. Dates coming to
also
a town
a big
near
foodie.
You.
Bill.
Big foodie.
Those hoagies back in the day with the chips in them.
Loves it.
So, yeah, the Bang Bang.
Screening with the Bang Bang line was just like how.
Yeah, so
possible?
I couldn't be Farley.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I wouldn't really want to be either. I mean, they're very good at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They
it takes
hustle
a
like
kind.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And also, you know, that's like a reporter's mentality. And
working
me, I just wanted to do something a little different and just whatever I wanted to do.
You want
to
be in the attic with your typewriter?
I just wanted to get into cool shit and write about cool shit that was going on in L.A.
We're not doing heroin in the attic, but we're, you know.
All right. Mm-hmm. There's a big drug crowd over here at the
Stew. Yeah, baby.
Big drug crowd at the Stew.
So that's good.
Yeah, so.
You carved
so
out
I was,
a window.
Well, right. But I was always looking for a way in. Because I still hadn't found it. I had pitched Eater a couple times. I pitched some people, and they weren't really handling it the way, you know, I would have liked to, right? Just, like, write, because they don't do a lot of that stuff. But the first food article I was able to get done was... So Dan Tana's, and I kind of became a regular there through just working in Hollywood.
Must
and
be nice.
Just loving it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... It's a wonderful restaurant. And
I've actually never been.
Respect.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'll take you.
Please take me.
I'll take you. I won't pay for you, but I'll take you.
Fair.
We'll split, right, Dutch?
That's fine. We'll do it, Dutch. I want to try that eggplant parm.
That's not what you'll be ordering.
Oh. I like a man who can take control of
the
bag.
Yeah, I'll order for you. And so they had a 50th anniversary party a few years ago. And no media was invited, just regulars, just friends of them. And I was there, and the scene was dope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the Wexler's guys were walking around. They closed out the whole back alley, tented it up, just free food, all Tana's food.
Mm-hmm.
How many of the Eagles were there?
just
Glenn?
I don't remember.
Fair.
I don't remember.
Do you have to be the kind of person who calls it Tana's to be invited
remember.
Is what I'm assuming?
Yeah, I mean, you call Dan Tana's. Everyone calls it Tana's.
How late did Lindsey Buckingham hang out is my question.
Everyone calls it Tana's. Andre really disrespecting Dan Tana's.
Hell
right
no,
now.
I love Dan Tana's.
How late did Lindsay
me?
Lohan hang out?
Here's what I don't like. I don't like that Jonathan Gold prefers Musso's over Dan Tana's and respects Musso's over Dan Tana's.
Food-wise, same. Food-wise,
no,
Musso, the same restaurant.
Musso's is trash food.
I mean,
fair. And you've admitted that before.
I've admitted that it's overpriced food. I think the steak is like, I mean, there's a lot of places that you pay for the ambiance. And to me, that price tag at Musso's is just a little too high. But
agreed.
Definitely twice a year I go and have and went more often when I first moved here because I loved it so much.
Very reasonable valet charges there.
Yeah.
I will say that.
And the breakfast at the
some
counter.
Some payback.
I even talked about the breakfast
Sonora
on the
Town.
Counter last
Sonora
episode.
Sonora Town payback.
Flannel cakes at the counter is $15 and you're out, and it's as good as any breakfast in L.A. as far as, like, if you want something like pancakes or French toast.
I feel like Andre's been talking
shit.
A
I
lot
don't know about that.
About,
this is 2 weeks in a row about that. That's my fault, though. I brought
2 weeks
up.
In a row of Musso defending Musso.
I'm just torn because it used to be, like, I mean, it's so legendary and it's so iconic. If I had to think of one restaurant that represents old Hollywood in one way, like it's not even like, well, which one.
Fine.
It's no question. I do. That was the thing. Is that I do.
Well, guess what, Andre? Right. Time's up. And old Hollywood is out the door.
Okay.
I don't know if we should be using the time's up for Musso's.
I'm sorry. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. Me too. I don't know.
Because Squirrel is here now, bitch.
No. I get all the complaints. But yeah, it's got a near and dear for me. But yeah,
everyone's got their own thing. Anyways, I'm there. I realize there's no media there.
No media is allowed, and you betray the trust and do a story on it.
Right, so I wake up the next morning. I realize, oh, I may have a thing. Pitch it to Matt at Eater. He's totally down because I didn't have anyone there. I took photos, thankfully, and was able to write my first food article that way. Mm-hmm. Subsequently, I've tried a bunch there since then and just haven't been able to do it. But
how much did you get paid for that?
Jason,
I don't even remember. I mean, freelance is shit. It's not about the money. It's anywhere from depending on the publication, $50 to $200 article.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Eater was probably somewhere in the middle, but I honestly don't even remember.
Yeah.
But that was cool of Matt to let me do that.
That was cool of you to be transparent about the amount.
Yeah. No, let's not hide anything. Really good freelancers in LA, the Andy Wangs of LA, the Javiers of LA, they're writing so many articles. They're doing this full time and they're able to figure out how to make a living out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I only want to write such specific things that I can't right now just make a living out of it. So I do other things.
Mm-hmm.
I think also for those people, too, it becomes another appendage or an arm, the writing, where it's it doesn't even occur to them to write about it. They just write about it.
Mm.
Why would you? The people that I know that do a lot of that stuff, it's almost, why would you do it if you don't write about it? If a tree falls in the woods, does anybody hear it? If I went to this and I don't write about it, did I even go, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to that way where the work starts to blur into just your life. And your lifestyle. When
it's like if God handed you a banjo and you didn't want to pick it.
There you go, Steve Martin. You got it, baby.
Known banjoist.
Right? I mean, or to that extent where it's when you...
Yeah, I mean, those guys are writing...
Wouldn't it be nice to get into such a momentum where that's the mentality that you're in, fellas?
Yeah, no, I mean, that would feel good, I think, if you find something you love to do that much and you do it that much, and you're able to do it
And you're
much.
Able to do it with, while getting enough practice without it... killing you from the inside out.
But if you can remember also to hold on to the mindfulness of being present and experiencing it instead of just constantly living two steps ahead of what's going to sound good.
No one is writing about food who hates it. Everyone fucking loves it. They love the scene. They love they love the energy of it. They
even
love
they
the chefs. They love the
city.
Mm-hmm. It's just it doesn't pay enough and it's hard. It's so hard to do it full time that you have to fucking love it. And I think that really comes out in most of LA's freelancers and full time writers.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Just that love of the city, love of the restaurants, love of the chefs.
I love the city.
The art of it, man.
That was my Pitbull impression.
That was Pitbull?
Bad Pitbull. So you're a Valley boy.
Ooh. Yes. Well, just recently, yes. Moved to Sherman Oaks.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's nice out there, man. Yeah, it's nice out there.
It is nice out there.
I got a Gelson's in walking distance.
Walking distance Gelson's. And you were nice enough to bless me with the spicy Thai noodles from Gelson's, which is a salad bar side treat. Not salad bar side, but a deli case side that I used to consume quite often. And then my local Gelson's stopped carrying it. One day after the remodel, a lot of shit changed.
Gelson's heads.
It really did.
For the better, but I lost my nudes.
Did you ask them about it?
I kind of sniffed around with some of the older locals and, asked some of the old ladies, but it was coming up from the top brass. It was out of our hands.
So did you grow up on Gelson's? Do they have Gelson's down in OC?
No, not at all. No, Gelson's, in Orange County, I grew up on just going to Vaughn's and Ralph's. And then Trader Joe's was a fancy and nice.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
And then Whole Foods was what the fuck is this?
Right.
And then also Mother's Market, a health food, natural health food store that I went to last night.
Mothers. Oh, yeah, you won Soccer Rams last night.
Yeah, well, down in Orange County, you can get Essentia 1.5s for $1.50 each.
Hmm.
Isn't that fucked up? Two That's for great. Three.
How many did you bring back? You just filled up the Forester?
I considered liquidating my assets and bringing a semi-pallet truck up.
You dumped all your Bitcoin to buy Essentia?
I dumped all the... Yeah, I mean, it's a smart investment.
It's like a smart to dump bit at this point.
Oh, that's a whole other pod. I did a bang, Louis C.K. style, bang, bang.
With Essentia and Bitcoin.
I dumped the bit. I picked up Essentia. That's a smart business move. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of stuff you can't learn down at ICM, huh?
No, I didn't learn that. You can only learn that. What's that on Tall Tales? I'll learn that on Tall Tales.
Yeah.
There we go.
A little cross promotion.
You were recently talking on social media about the new David Chang restaurant, Major Domo.
Yes.
Which I feel like is like the biggest LA food news going on in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean.
You haven't been yet, though.
I have not been.
The freelance
I have
life.
Not been. I mean, it opened last night. Considering maybe doing a walk-in tonight, maybe tomorrow night, sometime soon. I snagged a reservation February 20th.
Wow.
That doesn't really sound like a snag.
I mean,
well, you know, I didn't mind it. First of all, the reservations were going quick.
Mm-hmm.
They sold out the month, I think, in like 2 hours.
Really?
Yesterday, they opened it up at 1:30.
GRS
sold out by like 3:30.
Two top?
You want to roll?
No, but reservation for two?
I got a reservation for four, Andre.
Four? Because those twos and fours disappear. I guarantee you right now, if you called one for eight or ten, they'd have one.
No. This is sold out. This is 2007 Moza.
I feel you.
It's like trying to go to Felix tonight.
Oh, I tried to go to Felix. It doesn't work out.
Like, try to go to Felix tonight, Andre.
But that's the...
See what happens.
But that's the
2007
inside...
Moza. I heard that in a Jay-Z voice.
That's the inside tip. And it came... Who did it come from?
Well, here's the tip.
I'm trying to remember.
Louis C.K. taught me that
one. But it was somebody trying to go to Noma, and they couldn't get in for two or four, but they asked, like...
Renee, I need a 14-banger.
Well, what about 10? And they're like, yeah, we can get you. If you can do 10, we can...
Shout out, Renee.
If you're bringing 10 people, we got you. So if you can organize a huge group of people that maybe two people or four people can't get a res, but if you get your heads... You get the real heads and go, look, let's go 10, let's go 12, let's get a big table.
Well, that's what people what people are doing for Howlin' Rays. Because like most people with the pre-orders, you have to have a certain number, and you could do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's exciting. That's going to be good. That's going to be fun.
Major don't. Yeah, I don't know what the thing is.
Maybe a belated Valentine's exciting. Day with the lady.
I don't mind that's the one I got. I mean, let them get their bearings a little bit. I'll try to walk in before.
Couldn't
then.
Agree more. Don't go first night.
But it's cool. I like that Chinatown's
Eric Warheim,
blowing up.
Don't fucking go so early.
Man, Eric.
What the fuck, Eric?
Eric is so hooked up.
He is
so many plugs.
I was a friend of mine. His office is right across the street from Major Domo, and he sent me a picture a couple of days ago of like a Benz SUV, kind of like 10 years old or something like that, and the license plate said Lucky Peach on it. And I was like, "Oh, Chang, huh? Chang's got the whip with the Lucky Peach plates.
You think it's converted biodiesel? He's using that extra grease from the restaurant.
It runs on an XO sauce. Actually,
he's like, I save at least $80 a year, guys. Of course, I converted it.
I don't think Dave gives a fuck.
I converted my Benz to run on MSG. I love MSG. It's not even bad for you. It's actually good." But that food, and I thought of an Andre moment on that. He's got the Korean Sam smoked brisket over there.
Yes, APL style.
APL style.
Adam Perry Lang style.
Which, what is the APL style? Do you know exactly? Adam Perry Lang is a famous barbecuist.
Maybe just a shout out to how he smokes.
Shout out to how he smokes. Big dog style is how he smokes, obviously. But Andre...
puts in the air.
Maybe you need to start working on your own version of the Korean brisket.
Sure.
Like Major Domo.
That sounds great.
Month-long wait. Cool. Andre's got it for you tonight.
Yeah. It's same. It's same brisket, bro.
It's the same. It tastes brisket. The same. You trying to, but I mean,
it has Sony guts.
It can't be that bad. But if you're sous-viding the brisket already, we sous-vide in some of those Korean flavors. We got some Asian pear in there.
You guys are really like the sous-vide gods.
I really like, I find it to be a great...
We're not the sous-vide gods, but I feel like sous vide came and it kind of went for a lot of people. And I still think it's a really valuable tool if you use it the right way. I mean, don't just fully sleep on it forever. But it's okay to wave the flag.
You guys like the technique.
I will.
Andre blasts. Well, like, because you can do sous vide in like a dumb way, and then Andre does it in like a very practical way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I find it to be like one of my favorite ways just to do regular weekly meals. Mm-hmm. Nothing, not anything for anything fancy. Pork loins, chicken breasts. I mean, and then there's other things I can turn it up, but I'll use that to cook, like, instead of poaching chicken, I'll sous vide. Because, you know, why? Why not if you can?
So you always got a bath bubbling, don't you?
You see right there. But I mean, that's, I think.
And you don't do a pump and dump.
I feel
it's always
like,
there.
I just looked like I was going to see some bubbling shit.
I think people, if they've never done it at home, don't understand how easy it is. And then I think the people who stop using it at home think they only need to use it for special occasions or really fancy meals.
Mm.
And I think if you get into it enough, you realize how utilitarian it ends up being, period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're
like,
able, if
and you can cook with it frozen, which is incredible to me. So if you buy like a whole pork loin, break it down, zip it into four bags, that goes frozen into the sous vide. You double the time, however you want to cook it, and it's done. And that's, I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah,
the
you go to work, you come home.
I wish I knew anything you were just saying.
I'll write it down.
I really,
I
do.
Promise.
Because then, like, I'd have a different technique. I'd have a different technique. We'd argue like the fried rice wars of 2017. It'd be
yeah,
dope.
Jordan, are you, I mean, people, you're a known eater, but are you a cooker as
I
well?
I mean, I enjoy the let me tell you something. The Stew 2017 Rice Roars, historic.
It'll never be
historic.
Done again. But yeah.
It'll never be historic. Done again until like, Zach comes on
I
again.
I feel like you need to just call into Zach once a week, pick something y'all cook, and just argue over it. Could be a nice little
actually, there was
segment.
A fried rice war reunion with Zach at Phil's movie. There was a little, he's pulling up some pics. He recently went to Bali or somewhere.
I had to hold Norman back. I was like, don't hurt him, Norman. He doesn't have much to live for. Look at him. He's going to die in a week. He's fine.
I just ran into Phil in Atwater in my hood a couple days ago.
Ooh.
He was doing a little pop-in at Dune. I think he was doing like a bunch of podcasts for his show, and I think he's doing the Corolla show in Glendale, and he hit Dune, and I was like, yo, bud, you gotta go hit Proof, and he's like, Proof, what's Proof? And I was like, oh, it's across the street, it's like the best pastries in L.A., maybe, you gotta check it out.
Probably the
like,
best almond croissant in L.A., right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I would say best almond croissant in L.A.
100%.
And he's like, okay, and then he just turned around and walked to
he
Proof.
Went?
Yeah,
he went? Oh, good.
He hit it. God bless the man.
What's the order at Dune? Because honestly, this is going to be very controversial, but like...
Oh, fuck, don't you say it.
I mean, I just haven't had that many great meals at Dune. Oh.
I
mean,
I've eaten there a couple times. Ben from the Hundreds about this.
Everyone fucking loves it. I'm just like, what's the big deal?
I think a lot of it depends on if you get it the right way or not. Like
so
depending on who makes it. I mean, for me, the order, I always get the hummus plate. Where it's like $8 and it's a bunch of pickles and sides. It's a soft egg, some hummus, some fresh grilled bread. And it's like a big kind of mezze platter for $8.99. The same kind of thing that would be $27 at Kismet. They hit you right
there.
Oh, man,
the Kismet hate. It just came.
That's the only
Andre,
thing
what's up with the Kismet hate?
But then also the falafel sandwich.
Have you had brunch there?
It. Hell no.
You've not had the daytime menu there?
No, I don't even.
You've
brunch.
Only been to that one dinner and talked shit about it. And that's like a year ago now, right?
Oh, yeah.
You went to like a soft opening a year ago.
That's why it's
and
funny.
And I'm not soft talking. It's so a good great. Bit.
It's
you're
nice
just doing
bit.
It for the bit now?
Oh, 100%, yeah.
You need to hit the daytime menu.
You paying?
You
he
need to get.
To, he eats there twice a week, but he does it in costume. He's got like a funny nose and a wig.
I freaking no.
Don't fuck with the Turkish breakfast. Just go get some flaky bread, dip it in the lat. You're a big labneh guy.
Yeah, but why?
Some labneh and honey, flaky bread. You can't make the flaky bread at home.
I'm surprised you don't
have
more.
Yeah, but Bub and Grandma's makes the bread.
Is that theirs? That's not theirs. Is it?
I think all the bread
No, that flaky
there.
Bread, they grill it there.
Mm.
I don't know if that's Bub's.
Okay. I'll try that bread.
Just try it. Just go get one dish.
I mean, I want to try that, and I want to try the crunchy rice with
the eggs. I mean, I don't really care. I like that you talk shit about it, but
good. Yeah. It's a funny bit. Yeah. I'm sure I'll meet, but also like I meet a lot of chefs, and behind closed doors, they'll be like,
you know what? Don't go.
They're like, flaky. I feel you on the kismet.
Really?
Yeah. People come up to me all the time, and they're like, on the low.
The Sarahs are not going to be happy about this.
I mean, I'm sure they're lovely, great people.
I like their GCM spot.
I don't know.
The falafel spot that they have at Grand Central. Mm. You never been?
Yeah, I've been.
Oh, you don't like it?
No. I've heard a lot of people. A lot of people don't like that place.
Really? I ate it with Stewie when it first opened, and I thought it wasn't bad. But I haven't come back.
These guys hate the Kismet girls. No, I like this. I think they're lovely.
I don't hate Kismet, but Andre hates Kismet.
I don't hate Kismet at all. And their Grand Central spot.
That's the only order and from dude that I'll do as well as the hummus plate.
But also,
I don't love dinner there, but I think it's a perfect brunch.
Okay. For Kismet?
Yeah.
The falafel sandwich at Dune, I think, is also really tasty.
Yeah, I've had it.
The grilled lamb's okay.
I'd rather have Falafel King in Westwood.
But I think, same.
That's some childhood shit.
Right. I think you probably like Tito's Tacos,
Dune
too.
No. Hold on, Andre. Hold on.
Record
spoon. No. Well, first of all, I know that you went to Tito's a little while ago and realized it was trash.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
It's a lot spicy,
but look, like a lot of things are nostalgic, you know? It's just like why people dig things.
Del Taco,
you know?
And I have that relationship.
Right. Even though, I mean, those chicken tacos are kind of nice, right?
They are kind of nice.
They're real good.
Right. Mm-hmm. But that's the kind of place that's just nostalgia. I mean, that's the pinks of Mexican food. Like, you could do way better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you would argue that that's not, yeah.
I mean, it's not even a question.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
But
it's true.
It's popular, period.
Do you like Tito's?
No, I do not like Tito's. But, okay. I mean, I like that people like it. I like that it's, you know, iconic in L.A. I could respect that. I respect it more than Pink's.
Too. What about King?
I'd like to see Pink's close down.
Same. I like the tradition, but God, those hot dogs are
Not only do you not like Pink's, yeah. I want people unemployed.
I fell back in love with Pink's. Still haven't eaten there in 8 years, but fell back in love with them when they repainted the whole thing when the Dodgers were in the World Series and it was all blue. And then I was like, a little tear rolled down my eye, and I was like,
I love that they represent L.A. I mean, they really do get behind L.A. and all the sports teams and just everything going on.
Sure.
But so they can stay for that.
But the food is, I mean.
They can stay for that. Yeah. I mean, there's worse food in L.A.
I'd rather eat at Pink's than Tito's.
No, I feel like nobody would complain if it didn't have a line. If it didn't have a line, it would just be another classic L.A. roadside stand that's
cute.
It'd be
a Scooby's.
And people loved and like, you know, fine, okay.
Well, it would be Carney's.
They suffer
Carney's
from their
better.
They suffer from their fans saying their Okey food's dog. Good.
Okey Dog's a fucked up place.
Okey Dog's amazing. But if people didn't say Pink's was good all the time, or oh my God, you got to go to Pink's, you wouldn't hate on Pink's because you'd be like, here's a hot dog stand, fine.
No one's ever said you got to go to Pink's though.
People do. Not people you trust, not people you listen to. But
you know,
my uncle would take somebody to Pink's when they visited L.A.
Right, did you ever see Andrew Zimmer went to Okey Dog and like had the
bizarre food?
Had the flour tortilla wrapped chili cheese dog. Took two bites and was like, nah. Like this guy's gone back for a third bite on like rhinoceros penis. And like the Okey Dog special was like too much for him.
I've housed one of those before.
Really?
Yeah. Fucked up.
I'm convinced it's only a place that exists for like homeless people to charge their phone. But like I've had that before, and I was like,
homeless people do be having mobile phones.
They do be charging. Right. They really be like that. Yeah. And I don't know if I finished the whole thing, but yeah, it's a giant tortilla filled with chili, two hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And cheese.
Like they
wrap it up.
Some crunch in there.
I don't even know.
It is the Okey Dog, right?
Yeah, and that's what the Okey Dog is. Because you go to a place and you're like, oh, it's Okey Dog. Let me get the Okey Dog.
But Andrew Zimmer couldn't handle it.
I mean, I was surprised when Batali got outed.
R.I.P.
I thought it was going to be Zimmer.
R.I.P.
I used to listen to Zimmer's podcast. And he'd
like a nice boy.
He'd always say some little sideways shit on his podcast.
You got a sister?
Women.
No, sister? Okay, I just wondered.
You kind of say stuff like that. He had a female co-host. And
I was looking at your cousin's Instagram.
He'd say some weird shit like that.
I've never listened to his podcast.
Should make a varsity volleyball still? Or,
R.I.P. That podcast.
Is that over?
Yeah, he stopped doing it, but... I mean, for a time, because he was such a big name, in the world of food podcasting, that he would still like rank really high, even like a year after he stopped recording it. Mm-hmm. But I think it's finally been put to dirt.
Yeah, I think people are done watching him eat. But he gets a lot of respect.
I think he's a well-spoken guy. I mean, but
he knows the culture, but he's just doing what everyone's doing now.
I think if you have that much access in any field, regardless of the content of what you're creating, you have enough conversations and enough knowledge and you swim in the same pool that, I mean, at some point you just are actually relevant to a certain degree with what you're exposed to. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think he's had that in spades.
Mm-hmm. Spades.
Don't disagree.
Are we ready for some damn listener questions, boys? We got it warmed up. It's time to pull the chicken breast out of the sous vide and start working on our sear.
Hit me with some Truett Deets.
Actually, Truett Deets has no questions this week.
Dang.
It was so funny because last week I was complaining about dorks in the DM, and he replied back to me. He's like, "Damn, this one hurt, man." And I was like, "No, it's not you."
Everyone thought that was them.
Everyone thought that was them. Is it you? Maybe it is. But Sean, my God, Sean, he has some questions. Number one question, do you think Jonathan Gold is still the de facto LA food czar? If not, then who? And I've been also talking about this with a couple other people. I posted a pic of him at the farmer's market this weekend, and some people were like, "Oh my God, crazy." And then a few people were like, "Man, he needs to hang it up because his taste in food is not really relevant anymore." And like people are kind of starting to... I mean, nobody's...
He's still the czar. He's still LA's best writer, for sure. The 101 list was perplexing.
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about Vespertine. Let's just talk about Felix. Like, leaving Felix off that list entirely and having some really questionable places other than, there's no list...
Kismet's?
There's no list... There's no list where, you know, there's a relevant place. Valentino isn't relevant anymore. You know, no one is getting excited about eating at Officine Barrera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everyone is excited about eating at Felix. If you don't like the way they cook, you know, Evan cooks his pasta, cool. But to completely ignore it for a 101 list is crazy. And then I saw the other day he was talking shit about orange chicken. And that kind of irked me. Like, be open to some orange chicken. Orange chicken's delicious. He thinks there's no place for it in the food world. But other than that, he still is the man.
If you hear him talk, like he did when the 101 came out, he did Good Eats. And it's just like he doesn't care. He doesn't care. We care about that list way more than he does. And it's evident in his choices. And it's evident in the way he talks about it. Mm-hmm. And he gets paid to do it. And I think if you pinned him to the wall, he's so intelligent, he's so articulate, and I'm not even talking about food. You listen to him talk about esoteric music that I should maybe have heard of, yet this dude who...
Hear him talk about like Black Flag in the 80s or something.
So at a certain point, the joke's on us if we keep holding it up and talking about it. And like, he didn't give a shit. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, Vespertine's the first one because I was the most entertained by that meal. And then you're like, Vespertine sucks. And he's like... All right. Like, he doesn't care. And I think what's the most interesting about him moving on and into the future as the place in LA, I think he'll just always be a spirit animal. But like you look at where he eats and where he goes, it's like, it's more about turning. To me, it's always for him and his writing is about turning people on to choices and you can take them or not. But he's going to tell you about what's an SGV more than anybody else. And he's going to do certain things. And at least, you made the argument that that's changed with food blogs and whatever else I don't know about. But at least when he's writing for the LA Weekly in early 2000s, like nobody was doing that. Nobody's covering that. And I think that's kind of where it lives. Because, yeah, that list, I saw that list and I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I'm just like, oh, yeah, he doesn't care.
Yeah, it's just one man's opinion.
Well, why did you say what the fuck is this?
Well, because all the choices are like, yeah, this is like, this yeah. can't, this is so random and there's so many omissions and there's so many things that probably shouldn't be on here. And I'm not just talking about my opinion, like Musso's, the collective.
Musso's made it.
That's okay. awful. Musso's should be nowhere near 100 best restaurants in LA if you're talking about food. So, and you look at those and he's just telling you, he's giving you a roadmap of his real opinion of this list.
Right. Look, he's got his lane. He's got his beat. He's still the best writer in LA.
I think I feel like as long as he wants at a certain point, to be honest. I feel like he's such an iconic figure. He'll be paid to be himself mm-hmm. until he doesn't want to do it anymore.
I hope he goes decades more.
Same. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. But I think at a certain point, the somebody from the next generation will have to kind of...
Well, yeah, I mean...
You do some usurping of some kind.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to think about that just as a food writer, like who the next generation of big... kind of influential writers are going to be, and it's interesting.
I feel like he's sitting right here at the table with us.
I think a lot of people
looking at one right now with the Dodger hat mm-hmm. on.
Oh mm-hmm. shit! I mean, a lot of people think that's
Javier wearing a Dodger hat.
You know,
Javier?
Yeah, a lot of people love Javier. Javier's I think that's great. Javier, and he's got you know kind of the same beat and understanding of the city
yeah.
as Jonathan.
See,
and I would be down for that. I like you know,
yeah,
I like
he was
him
great
as a writer.
He was on this pod a while ago.
I think the two of them kind of share a lot of sincerity in being a member of Los Angeles or a resident of Los Angeles and also an eater of Los Angeles. But the sincerity that those two guys have, you can't fake. And any kind of halfway crook food influencer, yeah. you're just like, oh, yeah, you're just writing about whatever burger just got created. But the deep digging that... you know, those two are examples of, I think, is kind yeah. of really what
I mean, I think there's something to say about being born and raised in Los Angeles, staying here and kind of understanding the city, understanding the cuisine,
yeah.
and then writing about it. Whereas, you know, someone like Besha Riddell, who recently left, I mean, she was a wonderful writer and had a really good command of the city.
But there was something.
She's chilling down under.
Build
now.
A wall.
But... For me, there was something, you know, a little bit missing that I think Jonathan and Javier and other people's writing have mm-hmm. that where they, you know, they really feel the city. They're really from the city.
It's on the sleeve, baby.
Yeah.
Next question from him. Best food at, he said Grand Asian Market in downtown LA. I think he means Grand Central Market, perhaps.
Maybe not.
Unless there is a Grand.
Chinatown Plaza?
Let's just say he says Grand Central Market because he does not live in California at all.
Okay.
That's a tough one.
I thought for a second it might have been like somewhere like a mall in Koreatown that I was like getting confused by.
There's not a place that he knows about that we don't know about.
Probably.
No offense to you, Sean.
For
Love
me,
you.
probably Wexler's.
Well, what do you get at Wexler's? What's the thing?
Pastrami. I know you love the smoked fish, but I really love the Wexler's pastrami.
I think the order at Wexler's is...
Their take on the 19
The bagel
is,
and lox.
Is, oh, yeah? Yeah.
I think that's what they do best.
Mm. I need to do that.
I like those guys. You should get Mike in here, Mike Azar.
I would like to, yeah. Can you set it up?
I'll give you the mic plug.
Give me the mic plug. I mean, I'm sure I could DM him or something.
Yeah, you could. Those are interesting dudes. But, that's probably the answer.
That's my favorite. I think basically when I know I'm going to Grand Central, the first question is, am I going to eat Wexler's? And then no, it's like, oh, shit, okay, now I got to think about
it. I mean, honestly, like, there's just, I haven't eaten that enough of, like, the OG spots to really say this, but, like, I'm not excited about eating at Grand Central Market anymore.
Right.
You know, sorry's kind of dope. I haven't eaten enough stuff there.
I do like
But I had a really nice bowl there.
I'm wondering, when are you going to Grand Central all these times without me? What the hell?
When I have to go to Ross to get my knife sharpened.
Thanks for the invite.
2-3 times a year.
This back and forth.
Jesus fucking Christ.
This back and forth.
I like the double fast burger with beef tallow fries at Bel Campo.
Yeah. The fries at Bel Campo may be the best fries in the city, in my opinion.
Good.
The burger, not so much, but yeah.
I like the fast burger.
The carnitas at the Carnitas Lomo or whatever.
Yeah, the carnitas place that's next to...
That gives you the free taco that you don't need to eat after that if you're not
That's pretty damn good.
That is incredibly good for when you factor in
with all the chicharrones.
There's never a wait. Mm-hmm. They put the chicharrón in the taco when you get a whole one, and it costs like 25 cents. It costs $1.75 for a taco that you probably, like, you'll get to, but you're full at one, and you're like, well, there's two mm-hmm. on the plate. I mean, they're mm-hmm. fucking huge. Mm-hmm. If I will that say place was close to me, I'd go there a lot.
The best thing I ever had at Grand Central was actually John and Vinny did a pop-up with Mad Capra.
Oh, wow.
So they did a falafel, but in theirs was like this chopped Italian salad in one of the Mad Capra pitas. Mm. And it was like 2 years ago. I'm still thinking about it.
Like the Italian chop with the salami and the garbanzo beans. Yeah,
exactly that.
And the oregano.
Exactly that.
Dressing. That sounds nice. It's
kind of a creamy Italian dressing.
I think G&B when it opened was a huge, like, it's still incredibly good coffee. Some people don't like it. I love it. But I think when they did that, like, what, 6 years ago, maybe, they were one of the outliers, one of that market changing over. But coffee's gotten so much better in 6 years on average. Like, how close you have a good coffee shop to you has changed so much in 6 years that it's not so much about, in my opinion, G&B not being as good. But now I've got Maru, and I had to have a G&B three blocks away, and I've got, there's great coffee so close.
Not unlike anywhere. Your 2007 Mozza remark, where there's been a lot of good pizza popping up since 2007.
Where there's no pizza at Grand Central, right?
Not anymore?
Oh, no. There is. Their Olio is there. Olio is still there. Which is kind of a pass.
I don't think anyone...
Yeah, it's just not special. I mean, it sucks. I mean, like, you know, I think...
probably fine pizza.
Most people talk about it that, you know, most places are just good. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just like... I think now we expect, especially foodies, just we want something special.
Well, Jordan, we were all talking before we started recording a little bit, and you were talking about how you really... like, just to do anything in food, you really have to do an incredible job. And I think that kind of exemplifies...
especially podcasting.
Well... but I think that there's just so much good stuff that used to be great, and not because it got worse, but everything else got better. And I think that speaks to a lot of some of my favorite of your writing that I've read in the manifesto that's pinned to the top of your Instagram. It's like...
Twitter.
It's Twitter.
Yeah.
Wasn't that cute?
I don't even know what either of those are.
Wow, he was on Twitter.
Well, I knew you were coming on.
Respect. Andre does his damn research.
Respect.
So, I mean, it's so amazing that some of the things that were like, yeah, it's not that good, what we're really saying is everything's gotten so much better.
Mm-hmm. Everything.
And there are some things that get worse. I'm not defending everybody.
Everything,
but like,
everything, including our taste?
Yeah, I would think our taste I think sometimes... For the heads, I think there's a lot of kind of palate development that's already happened, you know, like before what I'm talking about. But I think, like, if you look at anything in Grand Central, or a lot of them, especially the early openers, they were better when they open because the competition wasn't as strong just in Los Angeles, period, 10 years ago or 8 years ago, 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. I know Bel Campo's that way for me. I mean, Bel Campo's great, but like some of the butcher competition and also just general food in LA, it's like, I don't know, you start bringing in your distance and the price point and everything involved in the experience, and it's like, what really stands up to driving 45 minutes and spending a lot of money in LA? I mean, that's the tallest order.
I mean, I drive for food all the time.
Right.
But
I don't. That's the, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You guys don't, but
yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, we do sometimes.
I do, but it's that food. You know, it's that. It's something, you know, that's just like, well, can't miss that. I mean, yeah. I try to go to Felix. I will go to Felix.
And now that you live in Sherman Oaks, you kind of have to drive for food.
Yeah.
You loser.
Fucking 818 slander. Let me tell you something, though. Like, a lot of people... So I moved to 818, right? Get a little bit.
But he moved closer to Brent's.
Get a bigger spot. Brent's second best.
For listeners at home, the 818 is the area code of the Valley of Los Angeles.
I forgot this dude was global.
Can I say glow up when I say, because you explained glow to me on Sunday. Is that a glow up because he's closer to Brent's?
Moving to the Valley.
Moving to the Valley is never really a glow up.
We're not going to say that's a glow up.
But a lot of people were like, yo, like,
it's a lateral move. It's not a glow down.
No,
is glow down a word?
It's not a word.
I'm enjoying Sherman Oaks. What I'm not enjoying is, I mean, the food really is subpar as far as moving from the city anywhere else.
What if it went really weird? You're just like, Puerto Ricans, that's what I'm not enjoying. And we're like, what? There's Puerto Ricans in Sherman Oaks? That's weird.
I didn't know either.
There's all right, I want to thank Jordan for being on tonight.
I don't think there's a lot of Puerto Ricans in L.A. in general.
I don't think so.
There's a, I have a Petit Soir opening a couple blocks from my crib.
Oh, really?
So that would be dope.
That's tight.
Yeah. And petit, I mean, valley. Hopefully a much bigger
that's literally what it's called.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I kind of like that.
It's like V-A-L-E-E with an accent mark over the second E.
Well, it's coming soon.
I like that.
It's
like
coming soon.
It kind of reads,
but I feel like there's,
it reads a little Icelandic or Nordic.
I mean, people who have lived in the Valley a long time are, you know, they love to represent like the Valley food. And I mean, look, my favorite pizza in Los Angeles is in the Valley. Mm. Brent's is an incredible deli.
Brent's is, if Langer's didn't exist, Brent's would be obviously the best pastrami in LA for sure.
Yeah, I mean, just like kind of the best, the second best overall deli. I mean, Nate Now for me has a, you know, has a really good place in my heart.
Of course.
But really talking about the food, Brent's.
Brent's
Langer,
so
Brent's, and everything else.
I'll drive for Brent's.
Everything else kind of doesn't matter.
Since Langer's is closed
except
on Sundays,
for Nate
I'll drive to Brent's on a Sunday.
That's a drive.
Jordan, are you a member of the tribe?
I am.
I'll talk to you. And you also, I remember...
Circumcised and everything.
Hell yeah.
Drop him, let's see.
So handsome.
I also remember on your social media, you were talking about the difference between the best slice of pizza in LA versus the best pizza in LA.
Yeah.
And the kind of the differentiation
I want to know the spot. You didn't even shout out your favorite spot in the Valley.
Which is what?
Pizza.
Oh, pizza. Oh, Baroni's.
I've never been.
See, I don't even know what Baroni's is.
Yeah, so it's
I was waiting to hear and then we started trying to be funny, but I was kind of on pins like, oh, what's the place?
So friends in the Valley who grew up in the Valley grew up eating it and introduced me to it. And it's just really good, very thin crust.
And is this where you go get a slice?
Square pie. No, that's only pies.
Okay.
I was speaking pretty much hyperbolically, but
what's the
all the same.
What's Baroni's inside like? Chill? Fancy?
Inside, it's...
Give me a virtual
white tablecloth, checkered tablecloth.
No, it's...
is there a Street Fighter in the corner?
It's a 70s steakhouse that hasn't been touched.
No.
That hasn't been cleaned.
Amazing.
Red leather booths. Oh. Amazing bar.
I'll drive to that once for sure. To try really that,
good,
I'll drive to
really
Sherman
great
Oaks.
Spot. Do not order anything but the pizza. You can get some calamari and the Baroni salad. But other than that, it's all about the pizza there. Mm-hmm. Put the pepperonis on top of the cheese. They put them under the cheese. They don't crisp up right. But they use the little guys that everyone loves.
Mm-hmm.
It looks very much like the new Roy Choi pizza. Very thin.
Got it.
Kind of square pie.
But actually good.
It's been there
I haven't
forever.
Been to Pop Pizza.
Neither have I.
Damn. No, I mean, I assume Roy's pizza is pretty fucking good.
I assume Roy's
pizza
is good.
It looks pretty fucking good.
It looks good.
Yeah.
It can't be worse than the food at Pot.
Pot came and went. Pot came and went.
I like Roy Choi's food. I like commissary.
Commissary's okay. I mean, Koji is...
Pot was
It's all about Koji.
Oh, pot was rough.
Everything else is fine. It's all about Koji. Koji's excellent. Koji Taqueria in Palms is fucking fantastic. His take on Mexican food down there, which you can't get on the trucks.
Yeah, I want to try that. It just opened up recently, right?
Yeah, it's been open for maybe a year or so.
Oh, really?
Excellent carnitas.
I need to fway a la...
Gotta get that bike over to Palms, my man.
No like problem. I don't know. I never ate there, and I didn't because by the time I heard so many people saying that it wasn't awful, but it was expensive, and it's in Koreatown with the best Korean food outside of Seoul. It's like to do that restaurant and not just destroy.
What
yeah.
pot?
Yeah, to
it's
not
like here's a dish inspired by Hamji Park, and it costs twice as much, and it's half as good.
Yeah, and then like Hamji Park is a walk. Mm-hmm. From it, and you're just like so. To me, I was like, well, I don't, you know, if enough people are telling me that that's what it is, but you know, I don't know. Hotel restaurant, shit, it didn't last. But like,
yeah, what hotel restaurants are actually good though, man?
I don't like Bazaar.
That's I forgot that's kind of something else.
You know,
like, but like,
entirely.
What's come
I
close?
Mean,
what you, like the food at the
I mean,
Ace
Alma was good.
Standard,
Alma was good. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't eaten since
people are enjoying
the Ace Hotel downtown.
Cimarusi's place at the Ace. I haven't been. I mean, I'm sure it's not that special, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I mean, it just sucks because there's only so much you can do with hotel food. Like the Ace.
Why is that? It's just a space, right?
So I think it's because of the way they have to source their food and their ingredients and how they have to have the menu available for, like, it can't just be food in this restaurant. It has to be also, like, stuff that's pulled for the room service and for the whole hotel entirely. Like, something, whatever it is, like, you can get a hotel that's cool with a chef that's really hot and has a restaurant that's amazing. And when you put the two of them together, it never really seems to work. Like, the Taco Maria guy took over the food at the Ace in Palm Springs. And Taco Maria is an amazing place that was always number two or three on Jonathan Gold's list. Mm-hmm. People love it. It's great. And I had the food like four different times there. And I was like, what the fuck is this? It's just whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
I talked to the chef
places.
And I was like, what's up? And he's like, yeah, man, like, you know, there's only so much we can do with the hotel constraints.
Hmm. Yeah.
I was like, sounds like a bad excuse, bro.
We need to get somebody maybe a former expert in this.
We should get Shirmoose, the god himself. I think he'll come and do this pod. Cimarusi? How do you say it?
Michael Cimarusi?
I don't
know if that's the way to do it. His place
at
Eataly is one of my new favorite restaurants, though. His seafood spot at Eataly is very fucking real. Yeah. Connie and Ted's is fire. Best fish and chips in L.A., you could probably say.
He makes his own.
I don't like his burgers,
saltines.
Though.
You didn't like the burger?
Yeah, I don't like the burger.
I was okay with the burger.
What was the burger like?
But, I mean, you're not eating. If you're eating his burger.
You're talking about a beef burger?
Yeah, you shouldn't be going to Connie and Ted's and having a burger.
That's what I thought. I just assumed it was like kind of some seafood
situation. I like the cheese he uses.
Friggin' cheese.
But I like the vibe in there.
Cheese can really kill nice a burger. Wrong Fun cheese, or if you don't like the cheese, that's just like...
Nice little...
That just ends the game.
Nice little clam chowder sampler over there. Mm. You ever mess with that?
Let me get a chowder flight.
It is a chowder flight. And the buns, we can't.
2018,
the baked bread.
Half white, half red.
Really? Yeah. Half white, half red chowder.
Together.
Manhattan style, Boston style.
Together, separated. Mixed, separated. A few spoonfuls of each, then a swirl.
Is that like a Louis C.K. style bang bang with chowder?
I will not answer that question in the way that
it's
got to
be different cuisines.
So where the fuck do you get red chowder at?
It's
not a Gelson's.
I had conch chowder like that in Florida like last year.
Thanks
and
for
I
the
thought
invite.
It was such a great thing because both were great. I enjoyed them both separately. Mm-hmm. And then together, I had a third chowder.
Could you say the rest of this with like a Bayou accent, please?
Don't try that.
Sean has one final question.
Oh, it's a great chowder.
Oh, that was bad.
How was that? How was that?
That was a little...
That was pretty good.
That reminded me of Jack Black and the Polka King, now streaming on Netflix.
There you go.
Not a compliment. Sean says, I have pickled cucumber, chicken breast, ginger, rice, cabbage. What can I make?
Anything. I mean, so much.
I say you put all of that inside of a spring roll. That's a damn spring roll right there.
100%. Slice the cabbage up thin. Thin strips of cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
You're good. Well, I guess what are we using as a wrapper? Were you assuming he's going to go out and buy a rice wrapper?
He should already have the rice wrappers in his pantry. They cost like 8 cents, and they last forever. You just put them in water, bro.
But literally, if you have chili oil, sriracha, just make chicken and rice. Shred cabbage on top. Blanch the cabbage if you don't want it totally raw.
Jordan's asleep right now.
I know. Sorry, bud.
I leave this to the masters.
Chicken, rice, he likes to pickled cucumbers, cabbage. Like, that's everything I would want in chicken and rice.
He's close to a banh mi as well.
Yeah. No, that's a great dish.
Any hot tips on this?
I would throw away the ingredients. Start over.
I would
throw it away.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I don't like the sound of it.
You stole my answer for a follow-up question that we might not be able to get to because we've already almost gone an hour and we've just answered one person's question.
That is a great answer.
My brother, Chris Stewart, RIP Stewie, sometimes a co-host on the show.
Bye, Stewie.
What is a better first date, bar or dinner or cafe?
Bar.
Most people will say bar as the first one because if it doesn't go well, then you can kind of opt out after a drink or two.
Right, you don't want to spend the dinner dollars.
Bar.
right?
You don't want to spend the dinner dollars, but also them drinks add up quick too. You know,
okay.
Couple martinis. We're sitting at 25.
Look,
that's a full dinner right there.
I've had some shitty pizza in my life. I've never had shitty Maker's Mark.
Oh,
I'm a Jack man myself.
But. Either way, pick your alcohol. It's going to be the same. Yeah,
but in this scenario, we're choosing the dinner destination as the gentleman that we are, right?
Where are you taking a date for $25 all in?
For 87.
All right.
I mean,
I'm doing a dry January right now, so
my fall game is very off. By the way, don't speak to me about fall.
I will not speak to you about
fall. Barely pronounce it.
But I think, I kind of like a first date for a dinner. I like stretching it out and getting weird with it a little bit.
He does. All right. It's a true story.
Will you eat like you usually eat with like the fellas on a date, on a first date?
You mean like
we let loose,
sloppy and rambunctious, or yeah. You mean like not. Ordering willy nilly, you mean? Like not being afraid to order some bad boy food? Or having poor table manners?
No, just kind of just being yourself, being your normal eating self.
Yeah, I would say I do that, yeah.
Right. And mm-hmm. You would want a woman to do that too, right?
Nothing gets me going more than a woman who mm-hmm. just really no holds
good
barred.
Shits herself at the table. All right.
Yeah, I mean, spilling stuff. I mean, yeah, but like, I don't want either person to be ordering daintily or cautiously because of they're in the presence of another person.
I
want you to go whole hog and do as if I was just eating with one of my pals.
Jason's 100% of the time.
That's good to hear.
He can be in moods where he's a little spicier sometimes, but like, you can count on him to be himself and be honest pretty much all the time.
Damn.
There's not a lot of fronting.
Hell yeah, bitch.
All right. So you front then?
I do, yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of front going on with Andre.
My name's not even fucking Andre.
I mean, I just...
Be very clear about that.
He's living a double life, kind of a Louis C.K.
I don't know if you
could
trust someone who's not on social media.
Fair.
Yeah. I just don't know. What are you hiding? Why
warrants?
Don't you want to show people
warrants,
what you cook?
You want me to say it on the radio?
He has warrants.
I got warrants.
The
feds is on it.
So what do you say? Bar or dinner for a first date?
Man, I haven't been single in so long.
Jealous.
I would probably do, back in the day, I did bar more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just because it's shorter, it could be shorter.
Yeah,
nothing to do with money spent or mm-hmm. anything else. It's just like you get out of there. Whereas dinner, you're kind of locked in.
You can get out of there if need be.
Dinner, you're kind of locked in.
Yeah, for me,
but I have a lot of single friends who love to do dinner on first dates.
I really love like if things go poorly, I kind of like to lock in and make it worse for my own like twisted amusement.
Okay,
I will say if she suggests or the other person suggests a bar that I know I can't even have a conversation in, some nightmare bar, I will take dinner over a shitty bar.
You really, noise is a big thing with
you. So when I say bar.
Noise is a big thing with you, which leads me, go ahead.
Very
go
Norman.
Ahead. Well, because it's going to lead me to something that I know about you.
But I think that like when I say bar for sure, it's because of that like, oh, it's not a sit down meal. It's less casual. But I'm also picturing the bar that I would go to.
Right, you want a place where you can get a booth. You
it's
can
not
have
just
a chat.
Any bar. It's like a place that I would imagine like
you don't want to go to Teddy's
fun.
On a Friday night.
No, not at all.
You don't want to go to Tenants of the Trees.
So that is like that had like a little
but noise is a big deal for you, right? Because that's why you pass on Bestia.
There's a million reasons I can pass on Bestia,
Excuse me.
It's not the worst restaurant in LA. I'm not saying Bestia is the worst restaurant in LA. I mean, maybe I should.
I actually like Bestia.
What is the Bestia hate?
Bestia
I don't understand.
I just think it's like very.
He's a full blooded Italian, though. You know.
I don't know. You know what? The food's not that bad. I think a lot of the vibe and the people that I see there and the ambiance, and basically, I find that they don't do anything better that could go somewhere else that I like
really?
More.
Where are you getting a better tartare? Where are you getting a better tartare right now than their veal tartare with tomato sauce?
I don't know. I'm not a huge tomato sauce guy.
I love tomato.
I don't go the real...
Have you had that tartare?
I haven't had it.
I'm not but going something really heavy fishy like that. But good tartare, Bel Campo has a tartare flight that's incredible, including their goat tartare, which better, is really into.
Better than the chowder flight at Caliente's?
Probably not.
The bestie of hate needs to stop on the stew. That's where I'm at right now.
Why do you like right it?
But it's I mean, first so of all, loud. The
I love that all, bone marrow with the little green pastas.
It's loud because the music's loud.
Did you go on
loud.
Your birthday, be honest?
The music is loud, and the music's dope, right? But everyone
did
has
your
the
friends
same,
from Orange County bring you up every, for your birthday,
everyone
be honest.
Everyone has the same playlist these days. If you don't like it being loud, ask to sit outside.
Right. No, I mean, that's the thing.
There
is like,
isn't,
I don't
there
wanna,
isn't, there
I
isn't five
go.
There isn't five better Italian restaurants in Los Angeles right now.
Factory Kitchen's great.
You prefer Factory Kitchen over Bestia? That's
to be
blasphemy.
Inside? By a lot.
That's blasphemy.
By a lot.
But subjectivity is absolutely. Always messing with my head.
Sure.
But I think the Bestia hate needs to stop here. The
Kismet
hate.
Elemento, to me, I will eat an Elemento.
Elemento
over
is
Bestia.
Excellent.
100%
it's excellent, but it's really, they don't do really the same kind of food. I mean,
there's nothing I miss when I'm an Elemento that I picture.
I have no issues with Elemento. Elemento is excellent.
Yeah.
I think, I don't really hate Bestia, but I know a lot of people that don't like it for some reason.
But what's where they pinpoint? Like, what are they not liking?
I don't know. People just don't
it?
Like the whole experience and the whole vibe. I think maybe sometimes the service can be a little cunty over there.
Oh, yeah.
We can be a little...
I don't know about that.
Yeah, but it's like... It's just a big operation of so many things I don't like. And there's... If I had one dish... I've eaten there, say, 6 times. If I had one dish there where I was like, I can put up with all this shit I don't like because it's so good, fine. I would go and I would be like, you know what? I'll go. You're going. I'll go with you. It's fine. There's just one thing I love. Mm-hmm. Never found it. Never had it.
You've had the sea urchin pasta?
I mean, I'm sure I've had many things there.
He's not a big urchin guy.
Oh, uni, yeah. Nah, uni's not really my thing either. So maybe there's some things that are missing me that are really kind of the bangers there. But the second you're like, oh, if you don't like that, do this at the restaurant, my red flag's like, maybe this is not a restaurant I want. Like, right. If you're like, it's too loud, go sit outside, I'm like...
I just think the hate needs to stop.
I'll go somewhere else.
Well, you had some parameters for your beloved Musso and Frank's, though.
What's that?
You're like, well, if you go true. There and you order this and don't
oh,
get
I'm not
that.
Recommending anybody or defending Musso's to anyone. right. Let's be right. real clear about that shit. Right. This is a personal situation. I find myself in loving that place.
Right. Maybe 2018, no, we start welcoming Bestia back into the fold.
I haven't met anyone who... you guys have a different crew.
Yeah.
Different crew.
For sure.
Maybe better taste?
No,
I don't know.
Absolutely not.
Sounds better.
It's not better taste. It's more of like a super taster. Like
right.
In terms of like certain people have a
elevated.
More of an elevated palate than other people do. Right. And it's not something you can teach or train. It's just...
Innate.
It
Born
is.
Born with it.
There's nature and nurture. This is all nature.
Has, and I hope you don't mind me asking.
No.
Just because I'm a huge fan of the
do
stew.
This,
First of all,
this.
I want to say thank you, both of you, for the entertainment over
guys.
The years.
Thank you.
One of the best food podcasts out there.
Thank
One
you.
Of the best?
Sincerely, thank
Most
you.
Other food podcasts really suck. They're mm-hmm. based on, they're kind of good if the guest is good. But the specificity
not,
of the
high.
Stew, speaking about Los Angeles, mm-hmm. I really appreciate it. So thank
My
you
dude.
Guys.
Thank
but
you.
Because I'm a fan, I know about Jill.
Yeah.
And so I feel free that I could ask about
you
Jill.
You can always ask about Jill.
For listeners at home, Jill is Andre's mom.
My mom would love to meet you.
Really?
Absolutely.
She'll take me to Kisbaka?
Ooh. When's your birthday?
I'm a Sag, baby.
She might, She might. My mom's like that. She's that generous. She's that giving. She loves everybody.
I'm actually writing an article about Kisbaka next week, so that'll be very cool.
Let me help you research
that'll be,
my dog.
That'll be, oh, my God. Wait till you see what this is. This is crazy. But
we'll talk off-pod about this.
But has Jill been to Bestia? And how does Jill feel about it?
This is a good question.
She would be okay with it. She would be okay with it because she's not as grumpy as I can be. She's like the complimentary side of anything that I'm not. And my mom really has zero faults.
Are you a grumpy guy?
Shut up, Jason.
Does she have shitty, so she has shitty taste, is what you're
saying. No. No, she'll be... So what she'd be excited about, she also lives on Kauai. So she, when she kind of comes over into California, whether it's Monterey or LA, she likes thing. She likes big things. Like mm-hmm. she's happy to go to parties. She if the
I
restaurant
across the pond, give me the give me all the
Jill,
things.
Jill's she's got a great hip, taste. A hip chick.
But she's a hip chick. Yeah, she's up for anything.
Right.
Yeah. And if the music's loud and the scene's kind of wild and the food's fine, she likes the people she's around, she's going to have a great time because she's
so
really
if it's loud and the food is just okay, she'll have a good time. So she probably would like Bestia. Like Bestia.
But I think she would like it. I think she's been, as a matter of fact, I'm almost positive, but it would have been at least 6 or 7 years ago. My dad, it would be full-blown circus tent nightmare for my old man. My dad would, like, probably go in and just be like, I can't eat here. So maybe I'm somewhere in between the two.
Well, I think
you are.
But Jill definitely, she can play ball with anything, as long as people are being, you know, positive and nice and are in a good mood. She doesn't like negativity, which is a beautiful thing.
Hi, Jill.
What up, Jill?
She's a beam of positive energy.
Hi, Mom. But yeah, she'd be down.
All right.
Next time Jill's in town, Bestia it is. Wait, isn't Jill around this weekend?
Yeah, Saturday.
Holy shit.
Okay. You got the Kiesbacher Rez?
I don't have the Kiesbacher Rez. I'm probably going to make some food for it. It's a short
He's starting
trip.
To sound a lot like me, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, you are always looking for that invite.
Did you call Vespertine? I should call Vespertine. I'll call Vespertine.
I saw. I mean,
for
I got,
three?
I got the I-10. Okay.
I'll just call him. I'll just call him and then you don't have to call him. All right. I called him. 7:30.
All right, my friend Cece Doan, how do I make quinoa taste sexy? And that is a very good question, a question that we're all trying to figure out. I mean,
this is a question that's difficult because I feel like I'm not getting an idea of what she wants to eat.
Like, she's Vietnamese. But
if she's making quinoa to be healthy, that's one parameter. If you want to use quinoa because you like the texture and it's, you know, whatever, a healthy base, and then you want to go ham on it, so to me, that if you want a healthy version, all right, let me think about it. But also that question is kind of like, yeah, put pork belly in it. You'll forget it's fucking quinoa right now.
I think we do the Andre method and you do fried rice.
Yeah, I did a quinoa fried rice that was healthy and good.
I think maybe using
Thank
quinoa.
God Zach Brooks wasn't there.
Using quinoa to make fried rice could make it sexy as well. But what about in a Vietnamese application?
Yeah, I mean, I think like you're gonna if you want to do Vietnamese style fried rice or something like that, or fried quinoa.
Do they have fried rice?
It's up
rice?
To you. It's up to you, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think you would see fish sauce. I think you would see cilantro. You'd see pickled things.
What's sexier
that you
than
wouldn't
fish sauce?
See in a Chinese? What's that?
What's yeah, sexier
pickles,
than fish
pickles
sauce?
Aren't very sexy.
They are to me. I got jars of them. You got to take
can you change
some
the texture
right
of
there.
Quinoa?
He's a foodie.
Can you change
well,
it?
Well, you can puff it and make it crispy.
Yeah, you can do that.
How do you puff it?
You can either just
like fry it
you
in
can just
olive
straight
oil
up
or
fry
like
it, yeah. Fry it and actually puff it up.
Olive oil is always sexy.
Olive oil is sexy, so I'd say make that quinoa, fry it up in some hot olive oil. It'll puff up like popcorn would in oil. And then from there, it's about the size of a caviar. We're tossing it in caviar. We've got crunchy caviar. I don't know what's quinoa. I don't know what's caviar. There's creme fraiche involved.
I mean, you could do like a...
minced chive is in play.
You could do a banh mi style, like fried quinoa rice, where you're using like pickles, the carrots, the daikon, the hoisin. You can have like, you know, some kind of ham potentially or something.
A sexy ham.
Some kind of char siu.
I think your original answer of pork belly was the right answer.
I mean, pork belly is the right answer.
You know the brown bread ice cream at Scoops? What if we work into the brown bread flavors, but with quinoa mixed into an ice cream?
That is sexy.
Never been to Scoops.
Also, the brown bread, I saw you tweet about the Cheesecake Factory brown bread being available for purchase in
this
store.
Is true. Not healthy. Not sexy, though.
So let's talk about Bestia from the guy who's posting about Cheesecake Factory.
Suck on that, bitch.
I mean, if you're anyone who passes on Cheesecake Factory's brown bread, then that's your prerogative. That's how you're living.
That's a new flavor of ice cream they got going on?
No.
It's like the little mini dark croissant.
The brown bread that Cheesecake Factory gives you. They understood that that's their best.
It's like their dinner roll. But I've eaten at Cheesecake Factory once in my life.
Like their breadsticks from Olive Garden or whatever. They give you this thing. Yeah.
It's a loaf of brown bread.
I've only eaten there twice. I feel like I don't remember this shit.
It's a loaf of brown bread.
It's really dark, and then it has like some oats
sweet.
On top.
It's very sweet. Mm-hmm. Some oats on top.
It has a malty flavor.
And it comes out hot. It's like...
Very good so with good. Soft butter, obviously.
Comes out warm, some butter, yeah. And slather it up.
And
1,800 calories
It's a such a big seller, or just, it's such a big item for them that they started selling it.
It's like yeah. the Cheddar Bay biscuits at Red
selling
Lobster.
Selling it meaning you don't get it for free anymore? Or
No. In grocery store. You can get it in the grocery store.
Got it. That's kind of amazing, actually. I also saw that Soup Plantation has their own line of food to go. So, you know, there's all kinds of good stuff happening in the
I don't, world. I got to tell you something. I don't hate Soupy Peas. Okay.
Soupy Peas. Real quick, though, I want to go back to Soupy Peas. But for quinoa, just to finish, it took me a while to figure out how to cook it well. And if anything, the least sexy thing is like overcooked, gross, soggy quinoa. Mm. And I would always like use less water than most recipes call for. And I always, especially if you're going to cook with it and you're not going to throw it into a salad, use less water, undercook it a little bit when you're going to cook with it, because it's just going to get even more mushy. And continue cooking and just be conscious of that.
And also don't...
Soupy peas, baby. Give it to me.
And don't be afraid to use your rice cooker to make
quinoa. Is this a hangover situation?
No, I mean, I don't mind it. I mean, I grew up going there.
You piece of shit.
I like Fair. To, I do a
Let's talk about other buffets
I do a Chinese chicken base, Chinese chicken Respect. Salad base.
Love it.
Build another salad on top of that. I do the ranch, because ranch and the Chinese chicken salad dressing.
Do you do anything,
mix
you
really
put
well
a napkin
together.
Layer in between the two salads, or are we just going skin to skin?
No paper eating.
Are you going to report any of the kids for their mouths touching the soft serve ice cream dispenser, or are you just going to let
them
ride?
I've never seen that before. That may have been me as a kid. But the pizza is, you know, okay.
It's got bread.
It's okay.
Edible.
It's okay.
What other buffets will you fuck with?
You know, I think that's other than like a hotel.
No Golden Corral.
A hotel morning buffet.
Compared to food
with
in
any
jail,
buffet.
How does Soup Plantation rate?
Any, I haven't fucked with any.
I understand that the jails buffet. In the valley are probably a little bit nicer than L.A. Right. Sure.
You can right. also make alcohol from food from Soup Plantation. That's how the two.
Have you guys
care.
Been to a lot of? I mean, I
have
like
I been
home,
to jail
like
a lot?
Home style hometown buffet. Buffet? I don't know.
I'm going off the commercials when I watch football, basically. That I'm aware of Soup Golden Corral. Or
well, like, I gotta say, like anytime I see a buffet, like in a movie. Like in Fargo,
yeah.
where Francis McDormand's going by and they're piling on that garbage. Yeah. Kind of looks good. I'm not gonna front.
Hangover.
I'm not gonna front. Hangover. I'm a big dude.
I like a Vegas buffet.
Yeah, Vegas buffet is fun. That's not.
Gotta have a plan. Gotta have a plan with
the. Are you talking about Vegas buffet in Glendale, bro?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not talking about Vegas seafood buffet. And then Cece also says, explain the nuance between Vietnamese peanut sauce and Thai peanut sauce. This sounds like a little bit of a trap, because I'm sure her, as a Vietnamese person, she will know the answer to this more than we will.
Sounds like a skip.
Andre, do you know?
I don't like know, a skip of and I'll be wrong with anything I say, but if instinctually, like, first thing that pops into my head is that Thai peanut sauce is thicker.
I think Thai peanut sauce is thicker, creamier, more oil emulsification,
more
cream, and I think Vietnamese oil. Is a little more leaning on the hoisin.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
But any peanut sauce...
Or just
bomb.
Sugar and vinegar.
Like, I love a peanut
know,
sauce.
Like any peanut sauce.
Rice, wine, and vinegar,
works.
And then some peanut and mixed in. I mean, I feel like what you said about the creamy, the sweet, the heavy, the thick is like more the Thai-style saute peanut sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And I could be totally wrong.
Mm-hmm.
What style is that on the Mr. Chow satays?
I think that's more Thai-style.
Yeah, I think so. Good question. Good flex.
You're a Chow head?
Jill could take me to Mr. Chow.
Humble brag?
Mr. Maybe. Cucumber.
Ooh, my guy.
Andre's guy. Number one, he has a two-part question. Number one, Mr. Andre, who are you really? With no social media to back you up, how are you even a real person?
I don't know.
How do I know you're not just a figment of my imaginations? Plural.
Fair. That's a fair question.
We've already touched on this subject earlier in the pod.
If we ever do something live or somewhere in person... Then I'll shake your hand, Mr. Cucumber.
Yeah, Mr. Cucumber, also, I don't know who you are either, and you've been in my DMs for what seems like years now, engaging with, I forgot, there's a lot of, the water baguette, I think is what the best word for a cucumber I've heard.
Yeah, that was my favorite by far.
Question number two from him.
Number two.
If you had the means to start mass production of any of your favorite recipes, what would you choose and why?
Oh, such a good question. Can we take an episode to think about it?
Cucumbers are good. Always comes with the heat.
God, that's a great question.
I've been thinking a lot lately about like protein bars, like Cliff Bar style, RX bar.
My ideal fresh spring roll.
Mmm.
If I could just always have my ideal fresh spring roll, which, I mean,
just something to suck
varies
on.
Varies a little bit, but like it's going to have some kind of like roast char siu barbecue pork, nut. Some shrimp paste.
Big nut.
The little
vermicelli noodle?
When vermicelli noodle for sure.
Bad choice.
Oh, I mean, that's a little
filler. That's a filler ingredient.
That's texture. Not a lot.
Okay.
But in the same way, because that needs to be in there, because what's also in there is going to be those crispy wonton skin rolled up like they do.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, okay.
So what is that? What is it called?
I mean, it's like...
The place in Irvine? That we go to? Whatever. That place...
Well, they're like Brodards.
Brodards. So when Brodard basically just takes fried spring roll skin and just rolls it up like a blunt and then just drops it in hot oil, so it's just that, like two of those inside are game changers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like a wonton skin rolled
tons
up like a piece of pig skin.
Tons of cilantro, maybe basil, just shit tons of aromatics, locked pickled veg, and then some fried garlic, some fried shallots, and some crushed peanuts.
Cool, so just 18 ingredients in there. That's all we need, huh?
Bitch, there was no limitations on what and how it was manufactured.
Sauce-wise, what are we talking?
Mix
Thai
of, like...
peanut dipping?
I think the...
Blue cheese?
Nam Cham.
Uh-huh.
And then also, along with... no fuckers laughing. And then a little...
I love your accent. Where are you from?
And then a little thing of hoisin and sriracha... Side by side.
I'm there for that.
So three different dipping sauces on this prepackaged food. Wow.
I mean, the second one's one dipping sauce with two ingredients.
You're overestimating the public, but I'm there for it.
Okay. That sounds great. And also, that's the kind of thing where it can sit on the shelf for a few hours and it's going to be all right.
But I can eat that for dinner or for snack or for breakfast or take it to the gym. I mean, I will mess with that.
On a hot day, munching that for lunch.
Sauces at the gym, though.
I do that. I have a thing of El Machete in my glove box for when I do two a days and then I eat in between. So I'll bring up my lunch box, but then I'll have the sauces in the glove box.
Two a days, as in two workouts a day or two meals a day, like a Louis C.K.
Oh,
style
like
bang bang. Got it.
I know that's like not a bang.
Eat between yoga and the weights.
L.A. lifestyle, baby.
that's not a C.K. bang bang. All right. Not bad.
No, for me, I would say I would like to make the perfect, delish granola bar, like, you know, protein bar kind of thing. And I was thinking earlier this morning, I would like it to have under 300 cals.
How many grams of pea? How many grams of protein?
There's two options.
21.
Option number one.
27.
No, I want, and there's a gram protein and a price point that need to be fit into the parameter. For I want number one to
this
be
doesn't sound very fun.
99
sound like you're getting wild with it.
Well, I need
he's thinking of the masses.
I'm thinking of the masses.
Unlike,
but also,
unlike you, Andre.
There's a blank canvas and then there's the color in the lines.
All right.
Number one, 10 grams of protein, 99 cents. Number two, 20 grams of protein, $2.
Fair.
Two different options. No, depending on if you need the teen or not. There's going to be oats in play. There's going to be nuts in play.
More savory or more sweet? And I know granola bar is not going to go full savory, but
it's going to be both.
It's going to be both.
It's going to be leaning sweet, but with a savory element.
All right.
There's going to be salt involved for sure.
Okay.
What that is, I don't know yet. There could be pea proteins. There's a lot of new fun
could
things.
Be a salted going. Spring roll.
Yeah, man.
On the granola bar.
I'd like some sesame in it.
Ooh,
a little sesame.
That'll be fun.
Please.
Let's watch those cows, though. I'd like it to be under 300 cows
as
well.
Okay, you'll watch them.
Those seeds, they add up, as
you
know.
I haven't spent a lot of time watching cows.
Out of all your recipes, Jordan, which one would you like to see go into mass production?
You know, I'm a burrito man.
Are you a burrito man?
I mean, we're same over here when you think about it.
Yeah, we're all rolling up.
Spring roll and burrito.
Yeah, I don't pass on Bestia, but yeah.
Oh, boy.
So burrito man, what about tortillas? Do you have a go-to tortilla brand?
I actually like to go to a to a spot and get them.
Like a tortilleria?
Yeah, like once in a while I'll drive out to Azteca, pick up a pack.
Yeah.
They last a little while.
Yeah.
You got to eat them quick.
Put them in the fridge.
Like
but those are good. Pretty thin.
You can call ahead. I don't know if you know this. Maybe everybody knows it, but you can call to Guisado's and order a dozen, two dozen. They're like $6 for a dozen or $5 for a dozen. Hmm. And you can call it in and just walk up to the counter.
Will they do bigger sizes?
I feel like the sampler size are smaller in what you get. You know, like when you get the sampler platter there.
We're talking burrito smaller. Size.
Yeah.
Oh, burrito size? Yeah, no, I don't think
and flour. I'm only interested in flour.
Okay.
Because the
I was just thinking
that is a good pro tip because those tortillas are delicious. But if they made them burrito size, that thing would weigh 7-8 pounds.
I just realized we're talking about flour burrito tortillas. That has no relevance. I just got excited to share something that I think people don't know about.
I think that's Sonora Town. It is a great pro tip.
That was a good
for all our people at home who want to get that. I mean, that's the kind of tortilla I just go home and put some butter and salt
on. Can't thank you enough for bringing that Sonora Town, man.
You got it, man.
That Sonora Town, that burrito, that tortillas.
Wow,
you got it. I mean, I felt terrible when Jason said he went.
I hope the world wept.
You realize.
I hope the world wept. I'm going to be honest.
You realized he didn't take you.
It was not a good day.
It was not a good look.
Happens
take
a lot.
Me with you.
Maybe we should get those Sonora people on this pod.
That would be awesome. I would love that.
They're dope.
Yeah, they are dope.
Yeah, couple.
I've chatted with them a little bit. They're really sweet. Not unlike Peter and Lauren over at Wax Paper.
So sweet.
Same kind of vibe.
So great.
Husband-wife team, just super. Couldn't be nicer.
Could not be nicer. Also, my new gym buddies, so it's like just value added.
I've only been once, but it was really good.
Oh, it's so great.
I mean, I took it to the car, took a bite in the car of some special they had, and then had to get out of the car to go inside, ask what the hell was in that, like, some balsamic sauce they put on it. They were, like, laughing at me because I had to come back inside to ask about it.
And I guarantee it was something that they made. That they'd worked on for a long time.
It's like an onion balsamic.
Every morning, like everything really they do. It's it's just
really impressive place.
Well, we have a zillion questions that we don't have time to get to this episode because we've already cranked a long one. But speaking of going to the car and eating a bite in your car, the last question from Megan Akemi. What is the best food to eat while crying? And I was like, what is the last
treadmill?
I was like, what's the last thing you ate while crying? And she said, a Think Thin protein bar. And I was like, that
checks out.
That's a real good one.
That checks out.
I mean, something maybe a dry food where a tear could moisten things up nicely.
I got no answer.
What's really, first of all, this is a very dark question.
Yeah, I love that. Very, I love how dark.
Very dark question.
People in the food world are very dark.
And I hope whoever asked it is doing okay right now.
What's a dry food that
the
needs
only
more
answer is ice cream with your hand, and we all know that.
I think like a really moist, icy slice of cake.
Yeah, I could see cake.
Icy slice of cake.
Yeah, like icing heavy. Moist cake.
It's there's as much icing as there is.
You need
cake.
A lot of very moist too.
14 of those white cookies from like Vons that have no Ooh. Flavor.
Oh, now you're getting into some good territory, right? Yeah. Here.
It's a very sad question.
Two
very
bags
dark
of double
question.
Stuff.
Yeah, I'm gonna go the DiGiorno pizza crust, but without adding any toppings or sauce to it. Just
as
tearing
many
off
red barren pizzas as you have fingers left on your body.
So in this paradigm, you're hysterically crying, but also hungry.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
you have to be eating.
Yeah, you're crying while you're eating. You know, people have done it in movies. You know, I'm sure there's many a Sex and the City episode where you're just munching a salad and you just all
because you got to eat.
I've got the answer. It's the pork chop at Kisbaka because it's so good. I'm crying every time I eat it.
There you go. Never had it.
Yeah.
Never had the pork chop.
Because I'm a nice guy.
Really?
Never had the pork chop.
And there's
I stay with the steak.
Yeah.
Is that a mistake?
I mean, if you got it, baby.
Very fennel heavy from what I hear and see.
It is fennel heavy. Fennel pollen heavy.
Yeah,
not
fennel pollen.
Which is a more palatable... Less harsh flavor.
But we're talking like 85 versus 210.
Well, that's true.
So, but I mean, look, if I got to look, you know where I'm living.
If Jill's taking you, you're ordering the steak, right?
You know.
We don't all got Sherman Oaks money, baby.
Yeah, let's not take advantage of this scenario.
Yeah, that's true. I should Try the pork.
I've never had the steak there. It always looks great.
We should try the steak.
The focaccia. The focaccia is the star, though.
Direcco is...
Direcco is the star.
Da bomb. Hey, guys. Hey, I'm star. Here all week.
The focaccia and the pig trotter.
Never had that.
Croquetta.
Really?
On the never had that.
Charcuterie sampler? It comes on like the... Yeah. Oh. That thing's great.
That thing's gnarly. It's yeah, so you get good. You get the charcuterie.
The corn puree is also a star.
Mm. I don't know if I've ever
side
had
dish.
That.
I
haven't had that.
Side
oh, I'm
dish.
Getting that.
So much to do, so much to eat in this crazy town we call Los Angeles, guys. We have like 20 more questions that we will answer next week. Thank you guys so much for sending them all in. Jordan, thank you for doing this pod. God
yeah,
bless
thanks,
you.
Dude.
We'll,
thanks
for you're having welcome me. Back anytime that we don't have any guests.
I'm here for you.
I was waiting for a laugh. That was
I'm here for you.
Sorry.
I'm here for you.
If people want to find you online,
no best thing.
Oh fuck! Yeah, you're right. Oh, best God, thing that best. We
had
all
I had because I had something I got to tell
I
you about.
Call him on it like 2 weeks ago too. Forgot.
So, I'm sorry. Yeah, and also Jordan's right. called me on it as well.
I mean,
like, what the fuck? You're slipping, bro.
True story.
All right, go for
I
it.
I think
then,
it's
Jordan.
A strong. It's a strong weekly. Week.
It's, yeah, segment. It's good to have a weekly. A weekly.
I think it's a strong weekly segment, and I wanted to tell you about. Kroner Burger pop up at Animal last Friday.
Damn, I read about it.
Wow.
Read about it.
Wow.
Did not
I really wonder it. About the Kroner Burger. If it's
hard
that,
to be
it's
impressed by burgers these days because everyone's doing a good one. And that
yeah,
one
have you had the Burgers Never Say Die yet?
I have not. I have not had that
if
yet.
If I could go one place tonight, it would be Burgers
But
Never
the reason,
Say Die.
I mean, it's funny that you say that because the reason I think I really like the Kroner Burger is because it wasn't
California drive.
It wasn't a smash patty. Yeah. You know, like it's so mm-hmm. popular right now. Everyone's yeah. doing a smash patty.
We're all smashing. Yep.
Everyone's doing well done burgers right now. Thin as can be, mm-hmm. and the Kroner Burger is served only rare.
Mm.
I think they even grill it, and it's just like over a quarter pound, just like Holstein
just
grass
slap
fed.
It on the ass and send it out.
They make like a cheddar mayo with it on a. Nice squishy buttered bun.
What is
it
a was, cheddar mayo?
It was insane. You know,
gotta try it.
Was
it.
Just
sounds like
it's mayo with it was just a mixture of cheddar and mayo. There was no texture to any kind of mayo in it.
Like, are they taking grated cheese?
Right.
And,
so
stirring
there was
that
no
in with mayonnaise.
It, was,
or
it must have been melted cheese that they
got
that
it.
They
got
into
it. So
it.
They're making like a cheese mayo.
Yeah, it was
sauce.
More like a cheddar aioli. Think
okay,
of it that
okay,
way.
Okay.
But
I mean,
that
I like
bomb.
The idea of that for sure.
That was very bomb. I would not mind Kroner Burger coming down to L.A.
Kroner Burger, and they did a few other. They did a few pop ups.
Yeah,
I
this
saw.
Was not their first one.
They did like one at a sushi place. They did one at Alma as well.
It was dope though.
Okay,
those guys are good.
It's very cool.
Really impressive.
Up in SF. All right, Andre. What about your ass?
I ate it an hour ago.
Mmm.
The chimichanga, the grilled chimichanga from Snorretown for sure. That mm-hmm. and that tortilla, that flour tortilla is when you get one, whether you know whatever kind of shortening they're using, but when it's just like, yeah, don't fake on this. Make this as delicious as possible, which means full fat, and I will eat it every time and plan accordingly. It was incredibly good, and then inside it was only meat and some chilies stewed together, beef.
It's incredible. Like a machaco. Almost,
yeah, right? Yeah. It's like a shredded mm-hmm. machaco. Yeah, exactly. Ropa vieja.
Really simple, really good.
So good. Oh, I cannot wait to eat the second one.
Can I have a bite?
No.
I think for me, it's a big nostalgia hit, but I went down to Orange County to my old mother's market where I grew up eating in high school and had their vegetarian nachos, where it's like a nacho that's loaded and piled with a bunch of stuff. But it's not. But it's the kind of thing where you can eat the whole plate of it, and you're not feeling nasty and gross after. Yeah, it's a bad pick. It's not. It doesn't get. You don't get to see the whole thing, but it's covered in like a bunch of blackened veggie cutlet, which is like a textured vegetable protein, like fake chicken patty kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it's everything. It's like refried beans, black beans, mm-hmm. guac, sour cream, house made fire roasted salsa, melted cheddar. And,
no.
and the black olives as well, which is a controversial nacho ingredient that I'm not mad at.
Big black olive fan.
I'm fine with that.
I'll take it.
But it's the kind of thing where you eat, and then the chips are like kind of like on the healthier side of like organic, you know, health food store chips. But you just can't, you eat it and you're like, and it tastes like when you make nachos at home. where it doesn't taste as good as a restaurant, but you don't feel like you want to jump off of a cliff after you ate them.
Was there no green pozole?
No. Not this time. I just had that.
So good. And for mothers.
And a Cobb salad.
What's Stu get?
He got his signature slop bowl, just a bunch of brown rice and steamed veggies and tahini and garlic bread all mixing together. Just a nasty little dish.
It's really, if I had to think of one dish that guy eats on death row, it's a slop bowl.
Loves him some slop. He grew up on it. Like a wild boar lapping it up.
When we cooked at Flore together, that was the only thing he would eat. He could have made anything he wanted, full dishes off the menu, whatever.
Mm.
It was always just like him scooping into the cold case and not looking and just filling it to go tray.
Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of meal that you eat.
And delicious.
You're using a spoon and you're going on with an overhand.
Yeah.
There's no...
And then...
There's no nuance at all. You just
box it up. A little shimmy shake.
Oh. Put it in the to-go container and then shake it willy-nilly.
And we're not talking like loose leaf lettuce and dressing. We're talking like potato salad with tahini, with like steamed broccoli, with tempeh chunks.
It's so much mush.
So good.
But good for you.
My dude.
All right, fellas. Thank you.
Thank you.
Andre Carnaparo has no social media, so don't even fucking try to find him.
Sorry.
Jordan, at Jordan, OKUN.
Yes, on Twitter.
On Twitter.
Instagram, JZ, OKUN.
Mm-hmm.
But,
what's the middle initial?
My Instagram's trash. But come to Twitter, people. Come to Twitter.
The Instagram's trash. But that's how you know he's a true writer.
Yeah.
He prefers the medium of Twitter.
He's too busy getting the words out.
And you could follow me at ThemJeans across all social media platforms, except for Facebook, which you should never look at ever. And you can go to thestewpodcast.com for all the other episodes. Check it out. Tell a friend if they like food. Or don't. We don't care.
You can tell your friends. You don't have to. I don't care.
Let the Mariah play.
You can tell your friends. Ooh.
Let the Mariah play. Bye, guys. Do-do-do.